I'm Sammy Lucas, and I'm romantically challenged. I worked with radio announcer Bianca Dye many, many moons ago at Nova 969 in Sydney. Bianca now hosts her own breakfast radio show on the Gold Coast, and she's single again after the end of a very serious long-term relationship. Now, Bianca and I have known each other for ages, and we've had so many similar experiences on the dating scene over the years. So this chat was kind of like a therapy session for us both. And we delve into some pretty big topics. We discuss grieving the end of a relationship and the loss of the life you thought you'd have. We talk about our difficulties in having children and how it affects your dating mindset when your biological clock is about to explode or expire. We question whether our careers are to blame for not having kids. We also have a very frank discussion about what it's like to date when you have a media profile, all the weirdos you meet, and we share the challenges of dating and relationships when you're a radio presenter and you're expected to share your life, warts and all, on the radio as part of your job. Now that's a tricky one. When I think of Bianca Dye, I think no bullshit, because that's exactly who she is. She tells it like it is, and I love it a bits for it. So here she is. Here's Bianca.
Hi, I'm Bianca Dye. I am a 47-year-old woman. Oh my God, when did that happen? Never been married, been asked a few times. I was a fur mum to two beautiful dogs for 20 years, and I cannot wait to be a fur mum again, but I'm waiting till I buy a house so I can have a little yard for them. I work in media. I'm a radio announcer. I have been for 27 years. I also write articles for various platforms occasionally. I do voiceovers. I host events. Oh my God, I sound like I'm trying to manage myself. Anyone give me a gig, please? Hobbies: beach walks, movies, reading, podcasts, being a better human, and yoga. Very passionate about yoga. It has got me through breakup after breakup and lockdown after lockdown. Dating for me is traumatizing. I know you're meant to enjoy it. I know you're meant to make dating fun, but I tend to wear my heart on my sleeve. So I find dating quite difficult because people automatically know who I am if they live close by, and that just changes everything. My ideal partner is no one that I've ever dated before. No, I'm only kidding. I've learnt lots from everyone I've ever dated. I guess my ideal partner is someone who wants to be in a conscious relationship with me and be the best humans we can be. My life motto is, I tend to think that mantras in life change depending on what you're going through and what you need as your mantra on a daily basis. At the moment, it's just start. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Welcome. Hello, Miss Bianca. We've been talking about doing this for a while. It's so good to have you on the podcast.
It is an honor. Divine Sammy Lucas, how are you?
Good. I have known you for so long, and I'm just so looking forward to this chat.
Go ask away. I'll try not to edit myself too much.
We have so much in common because we have both had our fair share of romantic challenges. Ooh. We've both worked in media for most of our professional lives. We've both worked in radio for much of that. We both love our fur babies on a level that a lot of people don't understand. Okay. And we've both tried to have human babies and had our difficulties with that. And it just feels like we've lived parallel lives in so many ways, doesn't it?
I know it does. And I have to say, it feels so comforting just to know that I'm not alone. I've literally laid in bed at night and listed the people in media that haven't had kids, that have had shitty relationships or breakups that were public. And like, I think about you and I think, it's like finding comfort in the shit, but it's like a really nice feeling of, oh, no, I'm not alone. Sammy's the same.
I know you've just come out of a long-term serious relationship not too long ago, and you are kind of embarking back onto the dating merry-go-round. But I imagine you're still in that, oh, God, I can't believe I'm single again. Or is it, yay, I'm single again. I can finally find Mr. Perfect.
Look, I think because of my age, it's swaying more to the I'm ready to settle down and be with a beautiful, conscious, loving, kind, sweet, caring, normal human. When I was single last time, about five years ago, I was like kicking up my heels a bit and my girlfriends were like, let's go out, let's party, you're single, woo, you know. And I did feel that. I was kind of excited and hopeful, and I enjoyed being single and going out and flirting and doing all that. This time around, though, I'm turning 48. It's a different feeling. It's a very heavy sadness of the grief of losing what I thought was going to be long term. And that grief is so weird. It can hit me in the weirdest ways. I can be fine all day. I get to go to work. We do a fun breakfast show. I laugh my ass off for like 4 hours a day. And then I do what I do. I go to the gym. I look after my mom or whatever I have to do during the day. And I come home and there'll be a certain TV show that we used to binge watch together, like This Is Us or Animal Kingdom. And those shows are so embedded in that I'll put them on and I'll just start howling, like sobbing like a baby. And I'm like, where did this grief come from? I'm the one who ended it. I'm the one who pulled the pin. Why am I not rejoicing and going, woo, I'm single? But it's just a different heaviness, I think, at this age. I don't want to go out partying.
It is totally a grieving process.
Yeah.
It's grieving the end of the relationship. It's grieving that daily presence in your life. It's grieving the idea of the future that you had thought about or expected.
We had a miscarriage together. So there was, you know, we were going to have a little family. And I am very much miss my stepdaughter. I mean, it's a weird thing to call her because we weren't married, but it's, you know, the person I co-parented. And I'm not allowed to see her. Neither of them have agreed to let me see her, which is upsetting. But it's totally their choice, and I respect that. I can't force it, obviously. It's not my decision to make. It has been upsetting. So I have been grieving the loss of the family. It's like someone said to me, it's like you went from being a family of three to all of a sudden overnight to just being alone. And the grief is very real for that. I actually look at women who are going through different types of breakups, Sammy, like, you know, a woman saying to me, my husband left me for my best friend and now they're married and they've had a kid. And I don't know how I'd handle that kind of grief. I feel like I'm lucky. Like I decided to leave. It wasn't working. You know what I mean? I just
can't. Oh, no, but you can't. There's no point in trying to compare your grief with someone else's grief. Like your life is your own. And I love that saying, do not judge my life based on the chapter you walked in on. So you're grieving a huge loss there. Don't underestimate that. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you're right. I am very hard on myself. I guess I look around at the moment in COVID times and there are so many people losing so many things that they loved. And I feel like our relationship broke down during COVID too. Boy, if you want to find out what you're like together as a couple, just spend 24 hours a day together during COVID. You'll find out real quick if you're meant to be together.
Aren't they saying there's going to be more people on the single scene after COVID because relationships will not survive it?
Yeah,
so there's a silver lining there for some of us.
For us.
Terrible. I know, it's terrible.
We'll swoop in and get their scraps.
I'm wondering now, what's your motivation for dating?
I am so glad you asked this because I was just thinking about it on my walk before we started talking. I watched this couple walking towards me and they just looked like me and my ex and, you know, and I was like, are they going to go home and argue over what's for dinner? And I remember how unhappy I was for so long, just that we didn't connect. I thought, aren't you just happy to be single now and not have that stress right now? Don't you just, why are you jumping into the dating world? It's only been 6 months. Why? Just chill. Do you need to meet someone? Do you really have to go home to someone tonight? Is that going to make you feel better? And I feel like I want to be the best version of me. And I feel like I enjoy being in relationships more than I enjoy being single. I love having my bestie. I love having that person to come home to and go, what are we doing? We're going to the gym. What are we doing for dinner? You know, and I feel that in the past though, I've allowed that to get codependent. And so my issue now is to try and find someone that's autonomous themselves, that's like me, that's got their own life, their own friends, their own goals, passions, things that excite them, and that we come together as two whole people. You know, I think in the past I've allowed myself to be engulfed and you just become one, and it's very easy to do that. And if that works for you, that's good, but it can get toxic and it can get unhealthy, and I don't want that. So I've been thinking now that I'm dating again, what do I want? You know, do I want someone that I see 5 nights a week? I don't play games. I'm not good at playing hard to get. I'm not good at the whole, let them chase you. Don't message them back within 2 days. You know, I'm like, fuck that. If I like someone, can we just hang out? Like if you like me, I would rather see someone every day for 4 days and get to know them than have the whole, ooh, the mystery of not seeing them for 2 weeks. I could die in those 2 weeks, okay? I don't want 2 weeks away from you. If I like you, let's hang out quite a bit in the beginning. I'm all for kind of just jumping in the deep end, I guess.
So you are looking for a life partner. Yeah. You feel like you really are your best in a relationship?
No, I want to be with someone. I want to be with someone that makes me want to be a better person. You know, I enjoy having great sex. I enjoy going traveling with my partner. You know, I want to learn things. I want to learn from my partner. I don't want to fix anyone anymore. I don't want to be the fixer. I don't want to be leaving books on the bedside table like, hey, if you read this, maybe you'll be a better man. Fuck that.
Have you done that?
Oh, God, are you kidding? My whole life. I've done it since I was 19. But you can't change people. You can help them. You know, my ex now probably, you know, his new girlfriend probably thinks he's been meditating his whole life. Not at all. I had to convince him to do that. But that's fine. I mean, we learn things from our partners, and that's fine. If that's what my exes have picked up from me, a little bit of, you know, wellness and all of that, I've picked up stuff from exes too, mainly STDs I can't get rid of. Just kidding. I've been pretty lucky on that front, actually, considering.
I know. Hello. Yeah, me too. Jesus. So then is the kind of man you're looking for now, you think, very different to what you were looking for 10 years ago, 20 years ago?
I think now I know what I want, and it's taken a long time. I think the last couple of relationships, I have fallen into them by accident. I've been love bombed. And when you get love bombed, you don't see who the person is. You don't see who they really are. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But if what happens is when the love bombing stops and the rose-colored glasses come off and you realize that you're not compatible, then it's a problem because you're already in love with them-ish or the relationship or the scenario or the family. And that's what happened with me. And I don't want that to happen again. I want to go in super conscious. I want to go in and not drink a bottle of wine every single night and have great sex every single night for like 3 months and then fall in love and then turn around and go, oh, I don't really know you.
Yeah, but that's not falling in love. That's falling in lust.
Well, that's what I did. That's what we did.
Got to work out if you like the person before you can love them.
I agree. And I need to work out how to do that. You know, I want someone spiritual like me, but they don't necessarily have to be a yoga teacher. I want someone who just is aware of what's going on, who can have conversations with me that are a little bit deeper than normal, you know, that we can talk about the five love languages and conscious living and being a good human and anxiety and just, I don't know, just in that. Basically, I want to date myself but with a penis. Can I just clone me with a dick? Yay! There we go. Simple solution.
You mentioned in your intro that you said dating is traumatizing. How is it traumatizing for you? It's not meant to be traumatizing.
It's not meant to be, I know.
It's meant to be fun.
I know. It's because, look, you're right. I look back at the last couple of dates I've been on and people put on a facade, especially when they know what I do for a living. You know, unfortunately, there's an act that a guy will put on because he thinks he's got to be, you know, a fucking showman because I'm on the radio and I'm funny, so I better be funny too. And there's just so much wankiness that comes with it. And I'm like, drop the act, mate. And like, I know, like we were on a couple of dates and I remember thinking, is this really him? Because he's very animated and it's very intense. And there was a lot of showing off and throwing money around. And I was like, oh, that doesn't really impress me. Although with this particular date, it was like, I didn't really get to see who he really was until like, I don't know, date three. And then I saw who he really was. Like they can't keep the facade up. And it was like, oh my God, this is a totally different person.
Trying harder to impress you than just being himself.
Yeah, and I get that. I get that because I'm the girl on the radio, right? And he would say that. Oh, you're on all the billboards around town. Oh, mate, fuck, don't even say that. Like it's so off-putting. Just pretend you don't know what I do for a living. I'm a librarian for now. Let's just say that, okay? Like I know they don't mean it, but it's so unsexy when a guy fawns over you because of what you do for a living because then I'm sitting there thinking, so do you want to get a selfie with me or – do you know what I mean? Like, I don't mind if someone's impressed by what I do because they know the hard work that it's taken to get me there. That's fine. And they can be a little bit into it. That's fine. A little bit kind of like, oh, it's a bit of a fun job, isn't it? But I really want my next guy to be so unimpressed by what I do. Like, maybe he's a surgeon saving lives and he's like, yeah, you talk shit in between Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran. I save lives. So,
but I wanted to ask you this because with dating apps, do you put your actual photo and your real name?
Yes, I have in the past.
As yourself. I don't like dating apps for that reason because we're not Nicole Kidman or, no, you know, J-Lo, but there are certain men who know who we are and what we've done. And I've always wondered with dating apps, I wonder whether they're just kind of a fan that likes the idea of dating me.
Yes.
Rather than someone who's genuinely interested in me as a person. So as you said, they're more interested in what you do for a living than getting to know you as a person.
Absolutely. And the guys I work with give me so much shit when I say that. There are certain guys who do know who I am, and I feel like it's okay for them to know who you are, but it's just a weird sense of you can Google me and you know so much about me and I don't know anything about you. I know it's crazy and I know that it's not as relatable for people, but if people can Google you and they can find out things about you, they can say things to you that they know you want to hear.
So are you going to go on the apps?
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do because clearly whatever I'm doing isn't working. I don't want to go to bars. I mean, I'd like to meet someone organically, you know, at a friend's house party. But fuck COVID and going out and like, how do you meet during COVID?
I'm the same as you. I would like to meet him, you know, just randomly as I'm at the coffee shop and we pick up a conversation, although that never happens, right? Yeah, so that only happens in movies.
I feel like we need to be on the apps, but I don't know whether I should put my real name. I don't know what to do. I feel like the backwards and forwardsing on the apps, when I first got on Tinder, I would spend hours at night backwards and forwardsing with like three or four different men at once. It felt dirty. It felt wrong. I was like, what am I doing? Who are these people? I just want to meet you for coffee. And like the ones that would lead me on and they'd breadcrumb you. They'd just drop a little breadcrumb and lead you on for another few nights. And I'd crack the shits because I'm impatient. And I'd be like, listen, I will know within 10 minutes of meeting you whether you're a nut job sociopath fuckwit or not. So I really want to meet you. You look good on the app. Everything sounds good. You're the right age. Everything seems okay. Your banter seems half decent. You can put a sentence together. You're not a terrible speller. Can I just say, guys, if you can't spell, please don't contact me. I cannot deal with it anymore. There is a lot of dumb men out there that can't spell, and I don't want them anywhere near me. I just can't deal with it. I'm a snob. I'm a spelling snob. But honestly, yeah, I want to meet someone as quickly as possible in person. Because then I'm like, oh, we've got some chemistry going on here. And you can't judge a book by its cover. You've got to meet them. I wanted to ask you, have you heard of Raya?
Yes, I have heard of it, the so-called celebrity dating app. I think it's also been described as the Illuminati Tinder.
Oh, God.
So why do you ask? Are you on it?
Well, I applied to go on it because a girlfriend of mine who's also in the public eye is on it and she got accepted with her application after 5 days. And it's been 4 months now and Raya hasn't got back to me and I am like, I beg your pardon? Don't you know who I am? I'm like, what do you mean? I'm prime real estate, mate. Come on, get me on the app. And you know what's sad? I click on the freaking app once a week at least, I click on the app to see if I've been accepted. And it says, we're sorry, we're still reviewing your application. And I'm like, what is there to review?
Yeah, I don't know about Raya because I'll tell you my experience.
Yeah.
A girlfriend of mine is on it and she is not a celebrity. She doesn't have a profile at all.
Right.
Whenever I've looked on her app, I don't recognize one person. There's no so-called celebrities on it. They all look like tortured artists from Bondi or influencers. And I've always said to her, look, that's not my scene. They're not my people. Anyway, she came to me about 3 or 4 months ago and said, Sam, come on, you really need to go on it. There's a lot of great guys in your age group on there.
What? And so, a lot of old fuckers on there.
Yes, exactly. And I said, okay, do you know what? Sure, I'll give it a go. If for nothing else, I can write about it. So I applied. She did the recommendation. I put the application in. I haven't heard anything either. It's been at least 3 or 4 months.
See,
not a word.
I don't have the blue tick. And apparently, if you have the blue authenticity tick on your Instagram, then you get on.
I have the blue tick.
That's got nothing to do with it then. But
I wonder though, like in all seriousness, why haven't we been accepted? What do you think they're looking for?
Well, I don't know. We need to speak to the Raya people. How do we is there even a contact us at raya.we'renothappy.com.findme?
It has this reputation as a celebrity dating app, but I wonder how many so-called celebrities are on there, because they've got this code of conduct for users. You're not allowed to screenshot any of the matches. So it's all veiled in, you know, it's all very secretive. If you see someone famous and you take a screenshot of their profile, they threaten you with suspension or expulsion or something. Yes. So in the States, I think people who have fessed up to being on it are Ben Affleck, Drew Barrymore, Matthew Perry, Amy Schumer. I mean, they're A-list celebrities, right?
They really are on there.
Have you ever dated a celebrity in the past? I can't think of anyone that you've dated that has a profile.
I've had a few naughty rendezvous with some girls. Remember ages ago, but this was before Instagram, I went backstage with Russell Brand. I mean, he had a penchant. Well, he's come out now and admitted he had a sex addiction, but he had a penchant for blondes with big boobs, and I just happened to fit the dimensions. So he just basically got a bouncer to come over and say, come backstage, and we hung out. We had a chat. We had a laugh. I tried to steal one of his diptych candles, and I didn't. He had like 10 backstage, and I remember going, I wonder if you'll miss one, you know. And we had a bit of a cheeky pash, and it was funny because I knew Holly Burns at the time, who was running gossip for the Sydney Confidential. I couldn't help myself. I told her, but I, you know, gave her the clean version. And the problem with things like that is that when you've had a few drinks and you're on a date, you tell a guy that, and then like a year later into the relationship, as happened with me, I'm standing at the airport, picked up Russell Brand's book at the airport and went, oh, I'm going to buy this. My partner at the time came up and went, oh, really? Really? You're going to buy his book, are you? What? So you can relive a few memories. And I was like, oh, God, I'd forgotten that even happened. It was like a million years ago. So, you know, we do lead a little bit of unusual lives. Like to the hunter, they're like, but most people don't say they pashed Russell Brand. So
I think people assume if you've got a profile, you really want to date someone else with a profile. And that is absolutely not my motivation ever, unless it was Jake Gyllenhaal. Like I would totally date Jake Gyllenhaal, although he did recently announce he doesn't bathe every day, so I'm reconsidering that option.
I'd take a smelly Jake Gyllenhaal, let's be honest.
Yeah, true, I would too.
But my celebrity crush is Jonathan LaPaglia, and he hosts Survivor at the moment.
Yes.
I leave really inappropriate comments on the Instagram page. Like, I'd like to survive you, Jonathan LaPaglia. Just hoping that he'll send back something like blocked.
He's really hot.
He's stupid hot. There's something about him. So, yeah, if I got to date a celebrity, or him and Mark Wahlberg, I just have weird things going on. Oh, and Robert Downey Jr., there's something about those three that I'd probably go to jail for, but the rest, I don't know.
We've got this unique opportunity to discuss the concept of dating when you're expected to share your life on the radio and how that affects us and our partners and our relationships. Because that's something that most people don't have to consider.
Absolutely not.
When you start dating someone and you start a relationship with someone, is them accepting that your life and your relationship and most of the gory details will be shared on radio publicly.
I actually think that this time around finding someone is going to be really hard because of that, Sammy. And I know there's a really tiny violin out there for poor little me, but I'm really serious. I think I scared off a couple of potential possibilities because they are terrified that they will become fodder for on air, and they would have. But I need to almost, I think, and I have had to say this to one guy I went on a date with. I said, listen, you need to know that you're not going to be on air. Like, I know you're a private person. I'm not going to tell anyone about us until we decide that we're serious. And even then, you can tell me what you're comfortable with and at what level we can chat about stuff. You know, my ex was great. You know, my whole life was on the radio and he was fine with that. He was really good with that. His ex wasn't so happy about it. So I had to keep stuff about his daughter a little bit more private, and that's fine. They're totally entitled to that. It is very murky waters. It's very hard to keep everyone happy. You've got a program director that wants you to bleed your life on the radio, and then you come home to, why did you have to say that? Because now such and such and such and such, and I'm like, oh, shit, okay. It is a very real problem for me, and I feel like I'm a bit lost. Like, I don't know. I almost feel like, does it mean I have to date someone in my industry who gets it, who knows that? I would always make sure that I spoke about him in a positive light, and if it was negative, it was always fun.
Great.
I would never do nasty. I would never be nasty, even when I wanted to be nasty, even when I have every right to be nasty about certain exes. And if I did and I did tell the truth, holy fuck. But I'm protecting people because I know I have a microphone and they don't.
So,
but I know this was a source of anxiety for me, and it's such an interesting situation when you're dating and you really enjoy the relationship, but it's a major issue for them. And I've dated men who are not in the industry, who have no profile, who were totally fine with me telling all on the radio. You know, we can get them on the phone and they'll have a laugh and they'll find it more hilarious than anyone. And then, you know, I've had situations where partners are really affected by it, and to the point where it was horrific going home every day because I would be abused for what I spoke about on the radio.
Oh,
and I remember one situation, it was a story about I wanted the dog to sleep on the bed and he didn't want the dog to sleep on the bed.
Oh,
and
very normal.
Exactly. It was primal. It was relatable. It was fun. It was funny. I wasn't talking about the size of his penis or how bad he was in bed. I was literally talking about should the dog sleep on the bed or not. We got great callers, people engaged with the topic. It was fantastic. I got home and I got abused. How dare you speak about our sex life? Things are private. And I thought,
yeah, wow.
Seriously, like it is a tough situation when you're trying to balance your career and when your career is very much putting yourself and your life and your relationships out there publicly. It takes a certain guy to be able to handle that.
It really does. And I'm not sure what that looks like now, you know, because sometimes it takes a narcissistic guy who loves being talked about on the radio, and then you find out later that, you know, you weren't meant to be. Or it takes someone who's really shy who never wants you to mention them, and then that makes life very difficult for me because that's my job.
Yeah.
It's a very clever balancing act. I think what I'll have to do now is say, listen, you will not be fodder for the radio until you're comfortable, and if it's a fun topic like you ordered me the wrong coffee and we had a laugh, you know, little light, fluffy subjects, you know, I think I'm going to have to set the boundaries really early. And I think I've scared off. I think guys are terrified of dating me because of that, and it makes me sad because there's probably some gorgeous guy out there who would love to go on a date, but he's like, oh, I don't want to be bloody fodder for the radio. They talk about everything.
But I think the right guy will be okay with it. It's like, for example, if you're dating a pilot, you're either comfortable with the fact that he's away 5 days a week, or you can't handle it and you say, I'm sorry, your job, I can't handle your job.
I could never date a pilot. I know too many pilots. I could never date a pilot. I'd be like, later.
Yeah.
Not happening. It's a real problem. It really is. And I don't know what to do about it because I love my job. I don't know what else to do. I can't just quit and go and do something else because I'm not.
And nor should you, Bianca. You'll find the right guy.
Yeah, I feel like he'll be out there. He'll get it. I feel like he'll be a bit older and he'll be a bit relaxed and he'll be chilled and he'll just laugh. And he'll just be like, you know what I mean? Like someone who's a bit laid back. If it's someone that is young and anxious and worries about their profile or what people think of them, then, I'm probably not the right girl for them. I feel like I need someone who is probably a bit older, who just sort of looks at me and chuckles to himself, you know, as he's sipping his whiskey and goes, she cracks me up, that one. She's, you know, and it just laughs and just isn't threatened by what I do. Like I've got a highly flirtatious nature, but that doesn't mean I'm flirting with people, you know.
But also I think your guy, it sounds like what you're saying and projecting and what makes perfect sense to me and knowing you, he needs to be secure.
Yeah.
Just a secure, mature man.
Secure, mature. That's what I'm going to put on my dating profile. Secure, mature man. Long walks on the beach, preferably has kids and a dog and a farm in Byron Bay. I'll see you in 20 minutes. Yay!
Okay, so dating can be a little tricky when you have a public profile, but one of the lovely benefits of working in media is being invited to be an ambassador for different brands and different companies. And one of my favorite ambassadorships is with the luxury shoe brand Sandbag. I know, right? Shoes. Amazing. I guess with a name like Sandbag, I mean, could there be a better ambassador for this company? Now, I know because of COVID, we're not glamming up or buying those glamorous heels like we used to, but Sandbag has the most gorgeous range of casual flats and sandals, sneakers and slippers. And they're really famous for their ballet flats, which have an extra layer of super comfy cushioning, so you kind of feel like you're floating on air when you're wearing them. And I reckon we all need a little something to lift our spirits right now. So whether you're popping out to the supermarket or grabbing a coffee or picking up the kids from school, if you'd like to add a little touch of glam to your casual footwear game, check them out at sandbag.com.au. Do you think you would think twice about dating a guy with kids again?
It's so funny you should say that, because I did have one date with a guy who has a little girl and started to think about it. And I saw photos of her and I thought, oh God, what if I fall in love with her too? And then he and I don't work out and I have to go through all this again. But look, no, I definitely would happily date a guy with kids, because I think anyone that I'm going to date around my age, if they don't have kids, it's probably more of a what the. I mean, it's funny how women are so instantly judged. And I shouldn't do that, but I would have to see the circumstances. But I think most guys my age, if they don't have kids, it would definitely be a question. I'd be like, why? You know what I mean?
Don't you think guys could say the same thing about you?
Well, me? Yes, absolutely. They could. They could. And they would. And they do. And then, well, there's the answer. I've spent the last 10 years trying to have kids of my own and failed. So you know that I have tried. It's just something I haven't been able to do.
Can you not say failed?
Oh, you're right. I shouldn't say fail. You're right.
No, it just didn't happen.
It just didn't happen. You're right. I didn't fail.
No, you did not. And, you know, I wanted to talk to you about this. When you're a single, successful woman in the public eye, people love to make assumptions about why you're not married and why you don't have kids. Often I know for me, I've heard secondhand that people assume that I am too picky, that I'm hard work. And I try not to let it get to me because I know my truth. Does it ever get to you?
Yeah, no, it does. It does. And my girlfriends around me who know me and who love me and who know that I'm a good human being and that I'm not actually hard work. But unfortunately, in past relationships, I have had people say, oh, you're hard work, because I work in the media. I feel that I've had that unfair hat put on me as well. And I actually think I'm hard work at all. I'm a strong, feisty woman. I know what I want. I speak my mind. Just because I happen to be in the public eye and work in the media, if I didn't work in the media or if I wasn't on the radio and the TV, I would still be a strong, feisty woman, because that's just how I was brought up. I would still speak my mind and speak my truth. And unfortunately, I just have chosen men that didn't celebrate that, that were threatened by that possibly. I have felt that hat being put on me that, oh, what's wrong with you? There must be something wrong with you. I'm like, well, maybe I'm just a normal, everyday single person who's just trying to date like everybody else, and I won't settle. And I don't want to settle anymore. I've done so much work on myself. The last 6 months, that's all I've done is so many courses and podcasts and yoga retreats and reading books and talking to people about it.
The other thing people say is, oh, you've been too career focused.
Yeah.
And I've really thought about this, because I do feel like I didn't put the attention into having kids or trying to get pregnant until I was on the verge of it being too late,
yeah,
when I hit 40. And I think a lot of that actually was because of my career, because my career was so enjoyable and fulfilling and exciting that I had this amazing life. I never felt like there was something missing. I never felt like I needed to have kids or find a husband or get married to make my life complete. So in a way, I do kind of blame my career, because it was too bloody good.
I agree with you 100%. I look back now in my 30s, my Nova days, and I was having so much fun that I don't actually remember lying in bed at night going, shit, I need to have kids. I didn't need to have kids to fulfill myself. I see a lot of women who are finding fulfillment through their kids, and that's fine. Do it. Go for it. But it was never, you know, these people you speak to, they're like, all I ever wanted to be was a mum.
Yeah.
I never, ever wanted to be a mum. I just felt like I sort of woke up one day and went, oh, shit, I would probably like to be a mum, but it was too late, you know?
And that's what I wonder. Like, are we in this position because our careers were just too fulfilling and amazing and exciting that we just didn't really feel the need to have kids? Or were we just the people who just didn't want kids?
Okay. Two-pronged answer to that, because this is all the shit that's been swirling around in my head since this breakup too. So these are all things that have come up for me recently, hence why the grieving process has been so heavy and fucking dark and hard for me. I honestly believe I don't think I was born with this maternal gene where I was gagging to have a kids and be a mum. So it was not nagging. There was nothing tapping me on the shoulder going, hey, I know you've just been flown to Tokyo to interview Madonna and it was amazing, but I tell you what, you have freaking well should think about having kids pretty soon. How about you do that? Hey, hey, it's your uterus. Hi, remember me? No one. Never had that knocking, never had that calling. I also have to take a bit of responsibility for the fact that I think I maybe subconsciously chose men that had no desire to breed. I don't think we ever had the kid chat. Or if we did, it was brushed off and I let it go because, again, I'm off to my exciting job. I'm on the radio. Yeah. I'm interviewing rock stars. I'm having a ball. I'm not missing anything. I know. But if I'd been with a man that said to me, hey, should we try to have kids? Are we doing this? Like, I probably would have gone, oh, okay, and then gone and found out I had endometriosis and all of that. So, you know, if I'd had those discussions earlier, if someone had tapped me on the shoulder, even my mum, I think to my mum, you never said to me, are you going to have kids? Not that it was her responsibility either, but there was no one around me kind of going, kids, kids. I think they all saw me and what I was doing and loving it. And I think they probably just assumed I probably didn't want to have kids. It was never a conversation. And I wasn't surrounded by other women my age having kids. You know how all those girlfriends all seem to have babies all at the same time?
Yeah.
You know, there's that group of girls and they've all been able to bring their kids up together and it's all just life so fucking perfect. I didn't have that. I don't remember having girlfriends around me going, I'm having a baby, you should have one too.
Yeah, but it wasn't that longing, it wasn't that desire to want to have a baby.
I really didn't have it. So I just have to take the heat off myself and give myself a break and think it clearly wasn't a priority for me or I would have done it. I'm a very headstrong person. If having a baby was my lifelong goal, I would have done it.
So dating now as you re-enter the dating jungle, do you still want to try and have a baby?
I don't know. I really don't. I feel like I want to give it one more shot, but I don't know who I'm doing that for. But I've got one embryo left with an ex and I'm pretty sure he's not going to give me permission to use it because I just get that vibe. I'm too scared to ring him and even ask, but I'd probably need to make that call pretty soon. I've got a woman who wants to help me with the miscarriage gene that I've got with my folate and she is so adamant that I can have a baby on my own and she's like, just get a sperm donor. And I have been avoiding ringing her because the grief of this breakup and just sitting on the couch and thinking, imagine I was pregnant now on my own, alone. I've got a 76-year-old mother. I don't have a family support network. I've got friends around me that would help me, sure. But I would be doing this on my own at 48. That sounds fucking exhausting. I don't think I can do that. I think I can be a stepmom. I think I can meet a guy who's got a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old and be the most incredible influence on kids' lives and be inspiring for them and love them unconditionally. Yes, I have the energy for that. But do I have the energy for a fucking newborn right now? Am I crazy? And I know people think I'm crazy. I'm not speaking to family members at the moment because they're like, you're not still trying to have a baby, are you? You crazy woman. And I'm like, fuck you. Don't judge me like that. I know you probably in your head think I am crazy that I was still trying to have a baby this late, but don't say it like that. Don't be cruel and have some compassion for the fact that this has been a long journey. I didn't wake up at 47 and go, I think I'm going to have a baby. No, I thought, you know, this has been a long process for me and a lot of money and probably lost a lot of, you know, relationships, definitely. And dating, I mean, try dating Bianca Dye. All you do is Google me and about 18 IVF stories come up. Now, is that my fault? Probably. I agreed to do the stories, but is it great for dating? No, it's not.
But I was going through that process on my own when I met a guy, and I write about this in my book, and we started dating, and I didn't want to talk to him about the fact that I was looking into having a baby on my own because I thought, well, that's the passion killer and that's going to make him run a mile. And when I did eventually speak to him about it, he was like, okay, well, let me be the sperm donor. So, surprise you and the right people come in. You've got to believe the right people come into your life at the right time if it was meant to be.
It's the great unknown. The amount of pressure, like I know with my ex just recently, he wasn't keen on the idea of me having another baby because he already had a few kids. But I was like, well, I'm going to have to do it without you then. I don't know what to do, you know, like what do I do? The idea of getting a sperm donor when you're in a relationship, like the pressure that it puts on relationships. And like now, like at 47, if I meet someone now, what do I say to them? Hey, look, I may still try one more time for a baby, maybe for shits and gigs. Let's just throw in an embryo. Hey, let's just see where we go. I'm happy to try again, but how do I do that on the dating scene? Oh, hi. So So am I going to be upfront with you now, or
what? I'm going to tell you a story about a beautiful girlfriend of mine that had terrible relationships, one after another. She was one of those women that desperately wanted to be a mum and knew that she needed to have a baby. And so she went and did it on her own and got a sperm donor. She was a month or 2 months pregnant, and she met a guy.
Whoa.
And they fell in love. And he knew from very early on that she was pregnant with a sperm donor's baby. And they are still together now, and they are married, and they have another baby that they conceived together. But
what
I do
an amazing think, man he is. I love him. Does he have a brother?
I think the biological clock really does crazy things to you when you're dating, and I know it affected me in a crazy way. And at the time, though, I didn't really register what was going on. It's only now that I look back and I realize that my biological clock was basically in control of my emotions and encouraging me to make some really stupid decisions, because you hit the panic button.
Yeah. But what do you mean stupid decisions? You mean dating men that you were just thinking would be a good sperm donor, or men?
Yes. Okay. Dating the wrong people, dating for the wrong reasons, and dating the wrong people because I was more focused on the outcome of having a baby than meeting the right life partner.
Yeah.
And now I look back, B, and I'm like, I am so glad I didn't have any babies with those men.
Well, that's me with mine as well, to be honest.
Yes.
I'm hearing all sorts of things from all sorts of women and stuff saying, oh, my God, my ex is making my life absolute hell, and I'm watching so many relationships break down, and there are so many couples divorcing and the kids are young, and I'm just thinking, well, that's not going to be me, at least, thank God. I'm going to look at the positives that I now don't have an ex that I despise, that I have to see every second weekend when they pick up the kids. Like, I see these women and these men traumatized because their exes are assholes to each other. They just bring out the worst in each other. And I think, okay, well, I'm going to try and find a positive. And the silver lining is I don't have to deal with any of my exes ever again. I never have to see them. I never have to hear from them. They are dead to me. No, I'm joking. No, but I don't. And that's a really powerful thing, you know.
Maybe it's unfair for us to say we're glad we didn't have babies with any of our exes, because I know lots of people who have strained, toxic relationships with their exes, but they also have children from those relationships that mean the world to them, and they couldn't imagine life without their kids.
Yeah, and I think that's how you look at it. And I look at some of my friends and their exes, and they look at their ex and go, oh, my God, that human being is such a turd, but I love my kids so much, so you put up with it.
Well, I'd say the majority of people would say, I'm just so grateful to have my children. I can deal with the bullshit because I would give anything for these children in my life, you know?
It's part of the swings and roundabouts of breaking up with someone that you've procreated with. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes you're mates. God, I've got one girlfriend who is going to be moving into the top floor of her ex's apartment with her kid, and they are seeing other people. They are really good mates. And I'm like, how? And she goes, she has set him up on dates. She has set him up on dates. And I'm like, whoa, you need to write a book, girlfriend. That is.
Well, I was going to say, that is the modern family. It sounds like the storyline of a new Channel 10 show starring Asha Keddie, you know.
It really does. Bloody hell.
Good on them. Good on them.
Well, she's a really calm, lovely person, and I'm a bit of a nut job, so there's no way I'd be living with my ex. Oh, God, I'd kill them all. I'd put them all in the basement in the concrete. They'd all be gone.
Well, there's a TV show I'd watch.
There's another one. See, that's a Netflix.
Bianca's Basement. Bianca's Basement.
Bianca's Basement.
With all the blokes.
Where did they all go to? Bianca said she was having a party for all her exes and they all mysteriously disappeared. I don't know.
Oh, God.
The world's a better place. No, I'm only joking. Just kidding.
So are you still open to trying for a baby?
I also realize that just because I have a child, that's not going to necessarily fulfill me or make me fill the void that I have with anxiety, depression, all sorts of mental health issues that I have. God, don't I sound dateable? Oh, I see a lot of women with their kids and they're miserable, and they wish that they could say that having kids has made them a better, happier, more whatever person, but it hasn't. I feel like I need to remind myself of those people when I think that not having a kid will somehow mean that when I'm 60, I feel like I haven't lived a proper life, because I've lived an amazing life and I will continue to do so. It's just the idea of making peace with it. I don't know how. That's grief too. I think that's why this breakup has affected me so much, is the fact that I've lost an instant family that I at one stage loved very much and still love a stepchild. It's the fact that I'm grieving that I might not ever be a real mum. It's making peace with that, and I don't know how or if I'm ready. Do I need to go to some ritual, you know? Do I need to do some sweat hut thing where I take ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca.
Yeah. Do I need to go and, like, let it out? I don't know what to do. Do I just cry when I watch TV shows? I don't cry that I don't have my own child. I cry for the life I thought I wanted.
Yeah. And can I give you one suggestion?
Please.
Remove the thought that you're not a real mum. When you said, I'm not a real mum, you've been a real mum to your fur babies. You were a real stepmum to that beautiful little girl, and you're a mum in so many ways. You don't need to have a biological child for you to be a real mum.
Look, I look to people like Oprah, to be honest, who, you know, she never had kids, but I love the fact that she says, I am mother to many. I give them hope with what I do through my work. I think to myself, but when I share stuff or I write an article for a magazine or anything like that, I know I've helped people. I know I have. Look, our Brekkie show got this great chemistry, and we genuinely laugh and we genuinely make people laugh. And the messages that I'm getting are genuine messages from people saying, oh, my God, you guys brighten my day. Like, you legitimately make me laugh so hard on the way to work, and you actually help me get through my day. And I think I'm actually making a difference in my own little tiny way. I'm making a difference. And no, I'm not a mum, but I'm helping someone feel good. And shit, if they write that on my birthstone, made someone laugh and feel good every day, I reckon I've done okay.
I found this quote on Instagram the other day, and I thought of you because I know you've, you know, been having your highs and lows after your breakup and readjusting to life without the partner and without being a stepmum. And I just thought of you, and I wanted to share it with you. So it's, I don't know if you follow her. She's called The Single Woman.
No.
She's on Instagram and Twitter. And this is a quote that she put on the other day. So she said, your singleness is a beautiful part of your story. Embrace it. It has made you strong and independent and unwilling to settle. It's protected you from the wrong men and forced you to take risks and taught you to love your own company. It's given you the space and the grace to become who you really are. Isn't that great?
I love that. Can you please send me that?
Yeah. Please. Put that on your fridge.
I'm going to, because I want to embrace my singledom. I want to enjoy the fact that I don't have to answer to anybody. I want to fall in love with myself and remember that I'm a beautiful human. And then that magnetism and that vibration is what will attract someone beautiful to me. If I'm Miss Desperado, and I'm giving off those desperate vibes of I really just want to be with someone, then I'm going to keep attracting the same kind of people. So I know now that this is it. This is my chance. This is my chance to work on myself. So I want to do that. And if someone comes along while I'm working on myself and taps me on the shoulder and is incredible and I go, you know what? Okay. But it's going to take someone pretty special that wants to work.
When he taps you on the shoulder, just turn around and go, are you mature and secure? And do you have a farm in Byron? Okay, we can talk.
We can have a coffee. I'm open to you. And are you okay in bed? All right, let's go. Let's go.
Okay, thank you, darling. I hope that you find what you're looking for. I really do.
Thanks, beautiful. Sending you love, and thank you for having me. Oh, God, okay.
The rejection is terrible.
What did you do?
Oh, my God, Sammy, just as we've been chatting, my phone's just pinged and a guy from a dating app has just got back to me because I said, do you want to have a cheeky vino tonight? Because I had my hair and makeup done for work. So I thought, wow, that doesn't happen very often. So I might as well, if I look good, let's not waste it. And I've just got back a lovely message. Can't tonight. My niece is cooking pasta, maybe over the weekend. Well, guess what, dude? You're deleted. Okay, later.
My niece is cooking pasta.
And also, maybe over the weekend is so non-committal. I have to tell you, I have to be honest, maybe it's just my ego, but I want to delete him now. Like,
no, absolutely. If he was keen, he would say, look, I'm sorry, I can't tonight. Let's try and plan for the weekend. How's Saturday afternoon looking?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's locked in.
No, it's so non-committal and I don't like that. But then again, I'm guilty of doing it too. It's true. So you have your main couple and then you'll breadcrumb a few others because you don't want to totally get rid of them because they could be possibilities. Mm. I mean, the head games, it's horrible. Just the rejection. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Okay.
Maybe over the weekend. How does go fuck yourself sound?
Yeah.
This podcast is produced and presented by me, Sammy Lucas. Audio director is the lovely Robbie Wood. You can find out more about Sambag Shoes at their website. It's sambag.com.au. That's Sam with an M for Mary. And you can find out more about me or this podcast at my website, sammylucas.com.